this happen? Well, it's a long story.
Today, tell me.
A contender.
It's main event time.
He's a friend from work.
Oh, come on.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I am your host, Travis.
And I'm Chris.
You are Chris.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just saw you the other day. We went up to the movie theater. And we happened to see Thor Ragnarok. Yes. And that was my reaction. I figured it's only been a couple days. I think, I don't know about you, but I still have some of my memory of my thoughts still in my mind.
Yes.
I haven't slept it all away yet.
I hope it isn't anywhere else.
That's for another show.
Brown chicken, brown cow. Okay.
That too, yes.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what we're going to... I just kind of spoiled it right there. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Thor Ragnarok. Spoiler alert, the movie's still new, so we don't expect you to already watch the movie. But if you haven't watched the movie, you may want to watch it before you listen to us talk shit about it.
So this is our lead into the discussion, because Sir Anthony Hopkins is in this movie again as Odin's son.
Odin.
And... the only thing that I can think about whenever I saw him on screen was, oh, but you know about it. You want to know about it, don't you, dude? You want to know about the Infinity Stones, don't you, dude? You want to know about your wicked adopted your sister, don't you, dude?
30-year movie legacy just shut down the shitter because of fucking Transformers.
Yeah, nah.
Poor guy. Mm-mm. So yeah, spoiler alert, we're not going to hold back anything as far as what happens in the movie, what we think should have happened, or what we saw, what we didn't see. So, like I said, you've been fair warned. Hopefully you enjoy the movie too, but where do you want to get started on this thing?
My biggest complaint of the movie.
You have a complaint?
Because okay. This might not be a spoiler alert if you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy. It almost felt like Guardians of the Galaxy.
It did.
Not so much the humor, but just the whole...
Well...
I didn't get the humor part as much as the original premise of, oh yeah, let's get four people that don't fucking like each other, let's put them together, and whoopee!
Here's the thing, and I'm glad we're talking about this first, the tone and the humor and everything, because I was...
My nipples!
And that's a complaint for another day. But no, okay, so I was, you know, before this movie came out, I was hearing nothing but good things about it. Best reviewed movie of all time for Marvel Universe, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's staying enjoying it. And we went into it. I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it. And then I'm starting to see other people talking about it now. And it's starting to be, I'm starting to see a shift, and it's more like 50-50.
I actually had that 50-50 mentality, because I was optimistic as fuck before the movie came out, until you told me a review that was specifically said it's a safe bet that you're gonna like Thor movies.
Yeah,
I don't want safe bets. Winter Soldier was not a safe bet, and it wound up being one of my favorite movies in the Marvel canon. So we've already had, for anybody that's had enough free time to listen to the podcast that we've done the last couple of weeks going over phase 2 of the Marvel movie verse, some of the safe bets get old. And we just literally got this last safe bet with Volume 2 of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So this felt like 2.5, kind of.
And that's what a lot of people
or the B-side of Guardians
are saying about that. Just the sets, the costumes, the humor, the tone, just everything was just... First of all, it is totally out of left field from Thor 1 and 2. Like, this is a totally... Just in the trilogy of Thor movies, this is... out there. It's not set, it's not keeping the tone of the trilogy.
Thor 1 had a little bit of humor, but that was because Thor was experiencing Earth for the first time.
Yeah.
Thor 2 had a little bit more humor, but by then the characters that were providing the humor already have a history of providing humor. Kat Denning, Thor learning
there
about the relationship side.
There's humorous characters in these, but the overall tone
was still
humor.
Serious. Yeah. This one just felt like it's made for Comedy Central.
Pretty much.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because overall, I love the movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is it something groundbreaking? Is it something I've never seen before? No. Is it more of a safe bet? Yeah.
But to that end, it's just one of those things where this director... Waititi. No, Waititi or something.
Waita Waikiki.
Yeah. So it's close enough.
Okay.
So I wasn't really familiar with this guy until I heard he was directing this movie. This guy, he's actually, he's from, New Zealand, I think. And I was told he did this one mockumentary thing, What We Do in the Shadows. It's like, it's about four vampires who live together in a loft or something.
Oh shit!
It's actually pretty. It's on Amazon Prime, so if you have Amazon, it's free to watch. So we watched it the weekend before Thor, and it was really funny. It's really humorous, and the guy, the director, he stars in that movie as the main vampire, so I already got the sense of where he's coming from, his humor that carried over tenfold in this movie.
Because he was in this movie.
Yes.
He was a B character.
Yes, he was.
I forgot what his name was, but...
Korg. Yeah, Korg, yeah.
It was funny.
Like, the whole time I was trying to place his voice, because he had a very humorous voice. Oh, there's Doug over there, you know.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, Doug died.
Where's Doug in Revolution? Yeah. Oh, great, another Doug.
Yeah. new Doug. Hi, new Doug. Yeah. those are some of the positive things of what he contributed to it. And I didn't mind the costuming and the sets and the overtopness. I kind of dug it.
The less CGI, the better for me. You know, Episode 7 of Star Wars kind of proved that you don't need to have everything CGI in order for it to be like a beautiful movie as far as aesthetic-wise.
Mm.
And I could tell the scenes that were more prop-induced as opposed to CGI-enhanced. Mm-hmm. And I like the prop stuff a lot better.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jeff Goldblum for a second. The Grandmaster.
Do we only have a second? Because
I could do a podcast on Jeff. I've never done an episode about Jeff Goldblum.
Put it on the list!
Yes!
Dilly dilly! Yeah.
They found a way to harness the quirkiness.
The
of
essence.
Jeff, the essence of Jeff Goldblum and channel it into a character that wasn't, oddly enough, it didn't seem like out of place or over the top for him. And it worked. It was funny. Like, everything he was saying was just humorous. The way he was delivering the lines.
The only person that in the top of my head that I could think of that could probably pull that off would probably Christopher Walken. But his accent, the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
But his accent wouldn't go over the way Jeff Goldblum's voice sounded. His English just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was... Oh, my God. The description within the first 30 seconds before Thor actually meets the Grandmaster pretty much set the tone that this is the guy that you're going to deal with. So we already knew he was going to be a little bit quirky.
Yeah.
But he was, like, extremely quirky. And it fit so fucking good.
And that was a nice little nod there. But when he was in the chair and he was going... He thought he was going through all these rooms and stuff, the lights, everything. The music they were playing was Willy Wonka, Pure Imagination, which I was like, I was humming along as soon as I heard it. I was like, wait, I know this song. And then it took me a second to figure, oh, shit. And then the fact that he was still there in the room.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just some of the stuff that you think you're going left, and then it, like, shoots you off to right. You know, I felt like that a couple of times.
Oh, visually, I felt that through half of the movie. I remember the first thing I told... I told my date when we left the theater, I was like, man, I would have loved this movie if I was on acid. Because, dude, the opening scenes with Thor and Doctor Strange and changing the scenery, mm-hmm. like from one second to the next, just felt like I was watching a Japanese television show and I was about to like have fucking, I was going to go neurotic. And it was fucking, it was a lot to take. I feel sympathy for the people that saw that in 3D, because imagine all that shit in fucking 3D, you would have gotten nauseous.
Which is funny because since you mentioned Doctor Strange, yeah, he's in this movie, but there's a scene where they're in New York, Thor and Loki, they're staying in New York, and then you start to see the little spiral magic things. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh shit, I forgot Doctor Strange was in this movie.
Yeah.
And then we get the introduction of him too.
I was falling for 30 minutes!
Oh man. Okay, so I don't know. Do we want to go over some of the plot points of this thing?
Right There's now? A lot. It's weird because if we were to write down like the different the scenes of the movie that have meaning, you would think that this would sound like a 2-hour, 45-minute Spider-Man 3 clusterfuck of a whole lot of shit happening. Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel that way at all. 2 hours went by like that.
Yeah. So it starts off, Thor, he's in chains, he's captured, he's talking to a skeleton, because we're supposed to think that he's like telling us what's been going on. But
apparently Thor saw the Deadpool movie and thought breaking the fourth wall was a good idea.
Yeah, and there goes, here's the start of the comedic turn for this movie, already, opening scene. And then he's the fire demon dude.
Surtur.
Yeah, that's it, thank you. Played by Clancy Brown, which I recognize that voice almost right away. He was a bit humorous too in just his delivery and everything. So I thought that was interesting the way he was talking. But that fight scene, whenever he sends all those little minions after Thor, and Thor's going crazy with Mjolnir, it's like spinning around, and some of the effects of that, and because that was and plus you're playing Immigrant Song right there. So right there you got me. Yeah. It was good enough to put in the trailer, but then they... Twice!
Yeah, I remember that in the beginning and in the end.
Yeah, nice little book in there. But that was a fun little fight scene in the beginning, them taking down all of his little minions. And then, so he ends up taking the dude's helmet and then putting into the vault of Asgard. And that's where we see some other things. We see the Infinity Gauntlet.
That's fake.
I love that. Not a little, literally a throwaway line.
Yeah.
About it was retconning a little continuity error, because in Thor 1 we see the Infinity Gauntlet in the background in this little chamber room, whatever. But later on, it's Thanos actually has it.
Yeah.
So this was a nice way of saying, oh, it's fake. Don't worry about it. So I like that. We see the Tesseract again. Towards the end, Loki's back there to get the mask again,
to get Surtur's helmet, and he passes by the Tesseract to see if he actually wants to take it.
I think he took it. Do you think he took it? God of Mischief? He took it!
We'll build up to that.
He took it!
We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
or you want to just get right into it? Because Loki has been in three movies now.
Not including Avengers?
Four movies now.
Yeah.
Thor 1, Avengers, Thor 2, Thor 3. By all accounts, easily fan-favorite character of the entire movie. Like, girls are like, oh my god, it's whatever.
More so than Chris Hemsworth at this point.
Yeah, more so than Chris Hemsworth at this point. Right, we're right now, maybe it's because of the climate of what's going on with the world as far as leadership and shit goes, but everyone loves a handsome rebel. And you look at, I forget this guy's name, it's on the tip of my tongue. I know as soon as you tell me, I'm going to be like, oh fuck, that's the guy. Loki?
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston. So that's the rebel that you want to like. And part two, he's pretending that he's his dad, enjoying a play about him, about himself being like the best person ever. Yes. And everybody in the town bought it, to the point where they have to rest. They have to find out where his dad is. They exiled Odin to keep him away from the Ragnarok. And he passed away or so. I had that feeling of the turtle from Kung Fu Panda when he just like disintegrated and went poof.
Well, let's stop right there. Because, okay. So after the first opening fight scene, he calls Heimdall to come bring him back to the bridge, and he's not responding. We cut to where the bridge is, and it's this new character.
Yeah, Judge Dredd.
Yeah, Scourge, played by Carl Urban, just showing off all his goods, I guess,
to the girls.
Giggity, giggity. Yeah, and again, a nice funny scene when he finally opens up the portal. Thor comes through, and then the head of this dragon that was chasing him comes through and just very a long
dragon.
Yeah, just
and like the dragon's head comes all over the girl.
Yeah,
and was I, like, you know, I roll back. Yeah.
So he's like, where's Heimdall? And he's like, oh, he's a fugitive by the by Odin, and he's escaped, and blah, blah, blah. And so Thor goes to the castle, or whatever, and then Scourge's like, wait. He starts jogging after him. Okay, so this is where we cut to the play.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's Loki as Odin, because Odin's just like chilling back, eating grapes, watching a play of themselves, of Loki and Thor from Thor 2. Of him dying or whatever, and
which technically, that did happen.
Yeah,
yeah. Loki took a bullet for Thor, and Thor told Loki that he was gonna sing his praises to Odin.
Right.
Loki just turned it up to about 50.
Yeah. Which we had Loki played by I think that was Matt Damon, right? Is that who that was?
It looked like Matt. Yeah. If it's Matt, I didn't even. You know what? I was asked after the credits, like, do you read the credits? I was like, fuck no. I'm just sitting here waiting for the next bonus scene.
Okay, so we got that, and then. We have a very interesting way of him revealing that it's not Odin, it's actually Loki. I thought it was funny. He's like, he threw the hammer.
He put his head in place of his hand.
Yeah.
So that it wasn't a smash him unless it was, yeah. So.
And so he called him out. He called him out on that. And then where we go from there?
They travel to New York.
Yeah, to go get Odin.
Yeah, to find him.
And then the old folks home that Loki put Odin in. Destroyed. It was just demolished. That's where Doctor Strange comes in. He tells them where to find him to get him off their planet because he doesn't want their shit on this planet again. So they find Odin. Odin basically tells him about Ragnarok and blah, blah, blah. And Hela's come in and all this other stuff. And he fades away or whatever. Yeah, he's pretty much dies, I guess. Yeah. So right as soon as that happens, we see a green portal open up. And Hela comes in, played by Cate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really thought of Cate Blanchett as...
Sexy beast?
Yeah, hot or anything like that. But
you can tell in the movie, she's very horny.
I'll be continuing this podcast by myself now. I don't know what it was. The dark makeup, the hair. I don't know what it was.
Black makes anyone attractive.
Right. So, so she gets introduced. We hear that she's Thor's sister,
mm-hmm.
Odin's firstborn.
Mm-hmm. Rightful queen to the throne.
Yeah, the goddess of death. And apparently she explains later on, she and Odin wiped out all these. That's how we got the nine realms, because her and Odin went to all these different realms.
Yeah, before he was a nice guy, Odin was a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he bitch slapped everybody.
Yeah. So Loki, in desperation, he calls Heimdall to take him back, and Thor tries to stop it because if the bridge comes, she's going to come. And she gets stronger as she's in Asgard. So. Mm-hmm. As they're traveling through, she follows them, and as they're traveling up there,
she knocks them out of the portal, out of the time loop. Yeah.
And then we'll catch up to that later, I guess, when she gets to Asgard.
So Thor and Loki end up on the planet of the Junkians.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Miniba. Yeah. Yeah. Thor gets captured almost immediately.
Yeah.
By
that sexy Valkyrie.
Mm-hmm. Nice introduction to her.
Mm-hmm. She's an alcoholic.
She comes.
I can relate.
He's mine. And she just like falls off.
Wait.
What'd you think of the
ship? I said he's mine.
What'd you think of the ship with the gauntlets and controls of the ship and just kind of blows them all the way? Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah. So she takes him to the Grandmaster.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, but before that, is that where we're introduced to Korg and all them?
Later. First, he gets introduced to the Grandmaster. Then he throws him into like the cell or whatever.
He's gonna challenge because that's where we see Loki. While he's talking to the Grandmaster, Loki's in the background.
Yeah, it's like, hey man, get me out of here. It's like, nah, dude, I'm in his good graces. I don't want to ruin it. Besides, it's you. And he just lets him suffer.
And plus, he said he's been there for like weeks or months or something like that. And so time and space move differently on there.
Yeah,
Grandmaster gets introduced almost immediately. Liquefying a dude.
Mm-hmm. Don't give me the liquid stick. He's that's not worth treason. Like whatever. I forget how that line went, but I thought that was funny.
That was towards the end. He says he just questioned me. That's not worthy of
liquid. Death.
Yeah.
So Thor's like, all right, if I need peace, if that's what it takes for me to get freedom, then I'll fight your champion or whatever. So Thor gets thrown into the stadium. Getting ready to fight. And that's where he finds Korg and Korg's little buddy.
Meek.
Meek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanting to start a revolution.
It was just me and Meek and Doug. And then Doug died. So now you're new Doug. Hi, new Doug.
Bye, new Doug. So, yeah, we don't know who this champion is. But this is where Thor gets the haircut and the...
Please don't cut my hair. Please, Stan Lee, don't cut my hair.
Oh, yeah, Stan Lee. Stan the man.
It's like, I will hurt you. Oh, no, my God. Please don't cut my hair. He loses it. And, yeah, we get the introduction of Thor's best friend from work.
Yeah. What do you think about this? Do you think... there's two things that I kind of wish I avoided trailers for. One was seeing the destruction of the hammer. I kind of wish that would have been a badass moment. On Hela's introduction, one of the first things Thor does is he tries to take her out of her way. He throws the hammer at her. She grabs it. And, of course, we saw in the trailer, she just destroys, shatters it. Mm-hmm. That would have been awesome to see had I not seen it in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Part two of that would have been seeing Hulk bust through those fucking doors.
Yeah.
But we saw it in the trailer, so we all, I know we're watching it in the movie theater, we're all kind of waiting for it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like, okay, where's Hulk at? We know he's here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we finally get that. And the scene kind of plays out like you would think from the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I did read that that whole line about, I know him, he's a friend from work, all that stuff. That was apparently someone's kid was up there. Or maybe it was like a, not a Make-A-Wish kid or something like that. But some there's a kid up there on the set.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if he said this? And they use that in the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was kind of like a improv line. Which, by the way, I also heard that the director, he told everybody to do a lot of improvisation. Yeah. Like, do a lot of improvs. And that's where I think a lot of the...
humor came from.
Yeah, the humor. We got that. We get Hulk and Thor like going at it for
a while.
It went back and forth. It was an enjoyable fight, I thought. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Thor would have won. If it wasn't for the little electrical shock thingamajiggy in his neck.
Yeah.
And then we see... oh! There was a one little good... the best part of that scene, I thought, was a callback to Avengers. Thor, he's like standing above Hulk. He's talking some shit. And then you see him grab him by the feet and he's like smashing him back and forth.
Yeah.
Loki gets up, starts cheering like crazy. That was funny.
Yeah.
So we got that. And then after the fight, we get them both resting and getting healed up in this back room. So this is where we get introduction of Talking Hulk, I guess, for...
yeah. So the whole idea was that throughout this entire Marvel storyline verse, before, Bruce and Hulk each had a hand on the wheel,
right,
steering. And then the explanation was this time it felt like Hulk had both hands on the wheel and I was in the back, locked up in the trunk.
Yeah.
So he had no idea what happened. So all this, that entire time was Hulk actually talking, like, and being like a overgrown kid, like, no, me stronger, no, you no friend, you whatever. And it was interesting to see that the Hulk that long but that cognizant of what was around him, you know. Yeah. I remember watching,
we've seen this in the comics but not in the movies.
Yeah, not in the movies. I remember, again, not that many people, I doubt many people have seen it, but the Incredible Hulk, where his first words were Betty and Hulk smash. Mm-hmm. And starts beating the shit. He went from that all of a sudden to him being a consistent, always angry, just being there. And it was
usually refreshing. I liked it. In the cinematic world, especially in the MCU, it's always been Hulk smash. That's pretty much it. He just comes out to beat, you know, smash things. This is the first time that you go back to someone at work asked me, you know, how was the movie, blah, blah, blah. I said, it's okay. Guardians of the Galaxy, but whatever. but one thing you might want to do is, if you need a refresher, watch like last 30 minutes of Age of Ultron. Because I think that kind of summarizes everything where these two particular characters are,
mm-hmm,
before this movie starts. We find out that it's been 2 years since Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as much as we were kind of spoiled on Hulk being in the movie, I did enjoy how much we got of Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner in the movie.
Well, dressed up as Tony Stark.
Yeah, that was funny. I was a very, I don't want to say refreshing, but it was a nice scene of when he finally got him to calm down and become Bruce Banner again. He's starting to freak out because, like you just said, he was locked in the trunk pretty much.
He missed 2 years.
Yeah, but he didn't know that. He didn't know where they were. He didn't know what planet they're on. He didn't know what happened with Sokovia. He didn't know what happened with anything.
Where's Widow? Where's Romanoff?
Yeah.
You know, all that.
So, and it was kind of cool to see, like, Thor just like, oh, they're fine. It's been 2 years.
We're sun's getting low.
Yeah.
He's trying to sing the nursery rhyme, but he's so fucking bad at it.
So that was, it was enjoyable. It was a good, I guess, a good piece of storytelling of of bringing both Bruce Banner and I guess some of the audience too up to date on
what's I think going on. That was the first time that I felt something authentic from the movie was when Hulk was in the Quinjet and he saw the video of Romanoff and that's what took him to calm down, like to change back to Bruce Banner.
Yeah,
that felt like it felt meaningful as opposed to everything else in the movie up to that point.
Yeah,
you know, that was the first, for all the humor, that's the first sense of, okay, this is serious now. Yeah. Or it's supposed to be serious.
Well, I think before that, the first kind of serious scene was the scene with Thor, Loki, and Odin.
Mm-hmm.
And him basically dying, and then Hela coming in. But that scene of the three guys right there, that was kind of a somber time, because it's their father, and he's dying, and pretty much. But anyway, so getting back to this, where are we at with, now we have Bruce Banner and Thor.
Now we have Bruce Banner and Thor chilling.
Now,
like
now
he's perfect strangers.
Now he's trying to recruit the Revengers team.
Yeah.
he tries to get Valkyrie, but she's not having anything. It takes a while for her to come around.
Yeah.
And then, Loki.
So Thor tried to escape, and when the Hulk showed up to the Quinjet, that's when he destroyed it.
Right.
So then Thor was going to go by himself.
Right.
So now he's already got the Hulk on his side, and now he's trying to ask the Hulk to help Thor convince Valkyrie to be on the team.
It takes the help
and
of
then Valkyrie's,
the Thor,
and then
the
Valkyrie's
Hulk.
Like, well, I have a peace offering for you. And she has Loki all captured. And that's how the four of them end up together because Loki wants revenge and whatever. And so they're off.
So now we can stop right there for a second, go back to Asgard, what happened. Here's my only nit. You had a nit to pick yourself. I had one nit to pick in this whole movie. So the first... She arrives on Asgard, Hela does, and we see the Warriors 3 there, or actually 2 of the Warriors 3.
There was no Sif to be found in this movie.
Yeah, which is kind of a good thing, because 2 of the Warriors 3 just gets killed, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean...
No fanfare.
Yeah, and I thought that was weird. I thought that was kind of weird that they just kind of took out those main characters, side characters, kind of offhandedly, like no problem. Now, when she gets to the main castle, whatever, and the army's there waiting for her... Yeah, she takes all them out, but before that, the last Warrior 3, I can't remember his name, but he's there standing in front of the army, and he's going to try to take her out first. He gets impaled for his choices. She takes... That was a pretty good fight scene with her, like, wiping out everybody, pretty much.
By herself.
Yeah. So
she went all 300 on them.
Pretty much, yeah. But I just thought it was a weird choice of them just, like, killing off those characters like that. Sif, I found out, the actress, Jamie Alexander. She couldn't get time off of filming Blindspot, whatever the show's called.
Yeah.
Blindspot.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's filming that scene. She's filming that series, so she can't, she couldn't get off. So when you're filming on different continents, it's kind of hard to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, which is a good thing.
Doctor Strange.
She probably would have ended up getting killed off if she was there. So it's kind of a good thing you can kind of hold her off to the side for another movie later on. So, where are we at with...
She keeps Scourge alive, and she makes him the executioner.
Yeah.
They're going to go open the Bifrost, and it turns out the sword is missing, so she sends him, Scourge, to find out where the sword went.
And this is where we see... Yeah, that's right, because Heimdall's been around. He took the sword, and he's been rescuing all the people.
He's got the people of Asgard locked away somewhere.
Oh, and there's that scene of Heimdall and Thor talking, and he shows Thor what's been going on. Yeah. And that's when Thor's like, I got to get back to Asgard and stop Hela.
So they break into the Ringmaster.
Grandmaster.
I was going to say Taskmaster.
What you're doing.
I'm crossing shit here. So the Grandmaster, they break into his vault of ships so they can escape. And then Loki tries to pull a fast one on Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And gonna escape without him, or turn him in because of the ransom. And Thor was one step ahead and left Loki behind,
right?
For while Thor and took off with Valkyrie and the Hulk, and who was there to save Loki?
Gorg.
Yeah,
and Meek. And they're in the revolutionary.
I'm Gorg. I'm a thing. Yeah. I'm made of rocks. You want to start a revolution?
Yeah. So they unknowingly save. Loki from that.
But there was a scene there. And I think it feels like that's the question that I want to lead off with here.
Sure.
We mentioned earlier, Loki's been in 4 movies now. He's easily one of the fan favorites of the entire Avengers franchise as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe. 4 movies. Is that enough time to accept a, in wrestling term, a face turn from Loki, who's been a bad guy the entire time, even up to this movie when he tried to turn his back on Thor again? Comes back at the end in the final scene when Hela's already taken over Asgard, and Thor and Valkyrie and Hulk are fighting off her and her her direwolf or whatever the fuck she had, and Loki shows up with the ship that that Korg had to save all the Asgardians, because it's Odin said Asgard's not a place, it's a people.
Right.
So as long as you have the people together, you have Asgard.
Right.
Was that enough time, or did you not want to see Loki be on the same page as everyone else?
Okay, so Loki is a character, and 75% of this is because of Tom Hiddleston. But Loki is a character that is, when these, well, the expression, you love to hate, hate to love type thing. Like, he's got so much charisma. Like, God damn it.
Like, you, shucks, you motherfucker.
You got me again, but damn. It was a nice ride. So, no, I don't mind it. Like, I can see him. I can see him being either a hero or a villain. He's always going to be a villain. He's the god of mischief. He is a villain. But he has that, not moral point, but, you know, he's got that sense of loyalty, torn loyalty.
He'll be on your side if it values him.
Yes, yeah.
So that's where I'm wondering, did he take the Tesseract because he has a bigger plan? By saving the Asgardians, especially since the Asgardians already think that he's a hero in the beginning of the movie. That's why everybody flocked and cheered for him when he showed up to rescue all of them.
Right.
So you think maybe he has the Tesseract, but is still going to do good? Or does he have the Tesseract and he's going to go back to being, I'm a bad motherfucker?
Well, it's one of those things where good characters, you know, it's one thing to have a hero and a villain, but it's also good to have that little shade of gray in between. And I think Loki,
oh, he's a lot of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And yes, I think he does have a plan. I think he always has a plan.
Yes. If either one of the first Thor movies have led you to believe, he always has a plan B.
Yeah.
And it's not over the counter. And like for
$100. And you just said it, whatever benefits him.
Yeah.
He sees that Tesseract just sitting there for the taking.
Yoink.
Yeah. They didn't show. Okay. So, you watched the movie too, listeners, right? So, what do you think? Do you think Loki, because they never showed us, we never know what happened with that. He just looked at it and he stared at it for, and the camera was on him for a few seconds of him just like staring at the Tesseract. Did he take it? I say he did.
I think he took it too. Yeah.
I think if he didn't take it, they would have showed us later on that it was still there.
Yeah.
This is me.
Not to mention, if Surtur destroyed, jumping ahead a little bit, Surtur destroyed Asgard, then there's no point for Thanos is going to get the entire Infinity Gauntlet because the Tesseract would have been kaput.
Right. So, if it even would have been destroyed, it might have survived whatever. Just
floating around in space.
So, okay. So, yeah. Hela's sitting there. Oh, and we did get a backstory when she's talking to Scourge about, and she sees this mural of all this goodness and Odin, Thor, Loki, and she shatters it, and there's another one on top of that that shows her and him like wiping out everybody. So we get a little backstory how all their kingdom came to be. So that was kind of cool.
I like the moment where, I don't know, I forgot where in the movie this happened, but Thor sees all that and Loki's behind him. He's like, yeah, how does it feel to be lied to after all these years? You know, because I know somebody that's been through that. Me, bitch! And like the gears are turning into Thor's head that from his point of view, he can see why or how, not to the extent, but Loki ended up the way he ended up because, you know, fuck.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where they kind of turn this whole Thor mythology into family drama, you know, pretty much.
On today's Maury.
Yeah, pretty much.
He is not the father.
And it's one of those things where all the characters have their own righteousness, you know, like Hela, she's the rightful heir to the throne.
She's firstborn.
She showed up right when Odin died. I mean, Yeah. So she's like, this is mine. All this shit's mine. I'm the goddess of death. What do you want me to do? Yeah. You know? So she's going to take control, you know, wipe out everybody. And of course, Thor is Thor, and he's the son of Odin, you know, whatever. And
he's the king that doesn't want to be king.
Right.
Yeah.
And Loki's just there to look out for himself, yeah, pretty much, and whatever benefits him. So she's there just kind of chilling. Thor, Valkyrie, and Hulk arrive in the ship.
They start
through the devil's anus.
Yeah.
That was a little...
And they used the word orgy in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they stole his orgy ship.
Oh, God. Don't touch anything. This has to have weapons. Pachoo, pachoo, fireworks and shit. But there were enough to distract the pilot to crash into the mountain.
Yes, it works. It fucking works.
It fucking worked. It's like, oh, great.
So they go through the devil's anus back to Asgard.
Then a final fight scene, and all hell breaks loose. Well, it turns out
they're about to lose. And
Hela's beating the shit out of Thor. She rips his eye out.
Yeah.
And
which that was something they didn't show in the trailers, and because they showed clips in the trailer, yeah,
but they
modded it out on the trailer, so that was cool. They fixed that to where it didn't spoil too much stuff.
And the point being, as far as Mew Mew, the hammer was just controlling the power; it wasn't holding the power.
It was a conduit. It was just something to channel his energy. But he's always had the energy.
He sometimes sparkles, but when he needs to, he lights the motherfuckers up.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Was that supposed to be an Instagram song?
Yeah, the first one was better. This one was, like I just hit puberty halfway through that.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah. But that last fight scene was fucking dope as shit. Like the Hulk falls down and like stop. We know because we're watching the movie, but the characters themselves, Valkyrie is like, dude, this Bruce Banner looks familiar. Did I fuck him somewhere? And then towards the end of the movie when the fight's about to start, Bruce is like, everything will make sense in a minute. And that's when he shows up, he falls out, turns to Hulk,
stop right there. Because what you do to get when he transforms is like he needs adrenaline, right? So he either gets pushed or he drops out of a ship, and so the adrenaline Hulk will save him from crashing. Like, well, this motherfucker falls out of the sky Ba-dum. To make a big entrance, and because there's the direwolf, and then there's
the crowd,
and then you see this body fucking just tumble.
And then you hear the streak like. Like scratching, like dragged against the ground.
You see his wrist and everything. He's all like,
it's all broken. Yeah.
Then the
direwolf starts running towards the people, and then when Hulk grabs the tail and he starts going, Hulk, don't go crazy. Hulk goes Hulk.
Yeah.
And he kills the direwolf.
It was almost like traditional Hulk in this part. This moment forward, I don't think he talks at all. I think he was just straight up.
No, he's just killing.
You know, that was another thing about Hulk I meant to mention earlier. I didn't know this, but up until this movie, all the other Hulks on the MCU have been voiced by Lou Ferrigno.
Mm-hmm.
They always brought him in to just do Hulk smash or everything. This is the first one. They didn't bring him in.
It's Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, he actually did the voice. So that's why he sounded a little bit different. He sounded a little bit more like...
a human.
Like Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But yeah, there was a... they kept cutting back and forth to these different fights. But the Hulk and Wolf fight... My wife, I was watching my wife. She didn't realize what happened. Like, what happened with the wolf? We ever saw it. It's like, he got uppercutted, right? Hulk, they're underwater, so it's kind of hard to see. Yeah. But he uppercuts the wolf, and he goes flying off the waterfall thing, the cliff. So that was that. So the revolutionaries, they're taking out like the minions and stuff,
mm-hmm. And then.
It's for Scourge
to hide, and Scourge is hiding because he feels like he doesn't want to be a part of it. He even hesitated to execute that one person until somebody said, "I know where they are."
Yeah.
So he's saving them the entire time, and then that's the one moment when he knew that the robots were coming, and everybody's like, "Oh my god, we're all about to die." Where Judge Dredd comes back from the dead with Des and Troy, those old guns that he got from this place called Texas.
Yeah,
and. Bang, bang, pew, pew. And that was fucking awesome, dude.
A couple automatic rifles and,
Yeah.
So, he takes all them out. So he saves all the people, and they're, because of that, they're able to get away?
Yeah. But I think he dies.
Yeah, he dies, yeah.
Yeah, but they were able to fly away without getting hurt.
Yeah. So Thor, that's when he almost dies from Hela. Like, she almost kills him. This is the stuff we see in the trailer, where he's like, I'm not a queen, I'm not a blah, 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 I'm the goddess of death, what are you the god of? And that's when he like channels all that energy and fucking uppercuts her off to the the bottom of the castle area.
But even then, he knew that there weren't gonna be that wasn't gonna be enough to stop him. And Loki's like, "Well, what the fuck, bro? What are we gonna do?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "I got a plan.
Ragnarok.
Yeah. Can't stop Ragnarok. What do we do?" He's like, "Well, we welcome it.
Yeah.
Go get the helmet." And he's like, "Ah, even I wouldn't have gone that far." But he was like all in, like Flynn, and went for it. Went and got the helmet.
That's a crazy idea. Yeah. And that's why Loki was like, okay.
I was like, yeah, we're leaving. Fuck this joint. Yeah. And sure enough, Loki dropped Surtur.
Fuck this joint, we're leaving.
Surtur's dropped Surtur's helmet in the Eternal Flame, and out came Surtur, and everybody else split, and Hela was...
Not everybody split at first. Hulk saw this.
Yeah.
Hulk wanted a piece of Surtur.
Oh, no, I fucking love that. He's like a gnat.
It's like, ding, 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 ding.
And Thor's like, "You fool." That's the other part that I thought was almost too funny was Thor talking to Hulk. He's like, "I don't like Bruce Banner. Puny Bruce Banner. Yeah. All science. No rah. I like smashy smash." Yeah. And then when he's talking to Bruce Banner, he's like, "I hate Hulk. Yeah. All he is smashy smash. We need science." I was like, "Ah, you fuck. You sound like Loki."
Okay, so yes, they basically all get in the ship and they take off. Hela's still in Asgard, and Surtur's just like laying waste to everything, fire, everything.
Surtur burn.
Yeah, Asgard's dead. Like Asgard's destroyed. So that ends up that, and we
start watching credits. The movie's over. They're off in space.
But it's a Marvel movie, right?
Yeah. So there was at least one. You want to get to it?
Sure. The first mid credit scene. Which I knew there was going to have to be some kind of lead into Avengers.
I don't know. I disagree. Because that movie felt too much like Guardians. It ended in space. The ship, there's a ship that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh my God, I can't wait for fucking Rocket Raccoon to peek out the window and say, "Hey, what are you doing in my movie?"
Oh, you thought
it felt like it was a Guardians movie. So I'm hoping Rocky Raccoon would break the fourth wall.
Did you not see the ship? It was a pretty big ship.
Yeah, it was a big ship. But they steal ships all the time.
Yeah, well,
but it was the Black Order ship with
Thanos. It was Thanos. It was confirmed by Kevin Feige. He confirmed it later on. Yes, that is Thanos' ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Sanctuary 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctuary 1 is where we've seen him in Avengers and on his little throne.
Mm-hmm.
That whole planet is Sanctuary. This is Sanctuary. Oh, wow. This is Sanctuary 2. Okay. So he was on that ship, and I'm sure the Black Order is on there with him,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine because we need and it makes sense also for this cosmic movie to be the first people to intercept Thanos or to meet up with Thanos. I'm assuming, this is me, just armchair, screenwriting over here, but I'm assuming that Avengers is going to start with them two. Guardians of the Galaxy comes along, rescues them, or they get involved somehow. So you're going to have them meet up. And then somehow that's when we're going to get the Avengers meet up with all of them too. You're going to have... It's going to be interesting to see how they get...
Everybody in the same room.
Thor's ship and the Guardians... That's kind of an easy one because they're already in space. So you can...
The Milano?
Yeah. What'd you think about Thor's look at the end? He had the little Odin eyepiece thing there. And
it fits. It's different.
Yeah.
I like it. I wasn't expecting that. So...
Can you see... okay, so this is basically the end of the movie because that's it. And the only post-credit scene was Grandmaster... Still talking shit about all these people.
It's like, yay, revolution. We'll call it a tie.
Yeah.
Everybody get the fuck out of here. Go back home.
So,
praise me.
Yeah. So.
That was the cherry on top of Jeff Goldblum's performance. I fucking loved it. He needs to win, like, the most comedic at the MTV Movie Awards or something that matters because, the Oscars and all that shit, that's, like, worth spit.
So now we're just left with where we go from here. So, immediately is going to be Avengers. That comes out in May of next year. So
I thought Black Panther was next.
Well, that's... In regards to this.
Okay.
Yeah, Black Panther's next, but in this particular story, it's going to be...
Avengers in the summer.
Right. So, we have this, but where do we go in the Thor franchise? Because it's a trilogy. So far, it's kind of wrapped up. It's a family story, all kind of tied up. But now you've kind of, like... They've left it to where a new storyline could pop up, depending on where they go from Avengers, obviously.
Question. So, lately, again, with the climate of the world we live in right now, we had a transition of sorts from Wolverine to a female X-23.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right now in the Thor comics, it's not Odin. It's not Odin's son that has the hammer. It's a chick. Right? Is it Foster? Jane Foster has a hammer?
I think so. I know there's a female Thor.
Mm-hmm. What would you think if they start building towards Valkyrie being the next Thor?
It's gonna happen. Like
Asgardian, she's a chick. She's an attractive chick. Her performance was pretty good in this movie. The first time I saw this actress, I forgot what her name was. She was she was the lead actress in Creed. That's where I knew of her, and I liked her in this movie also, in this Thor movie also. What if they start building towards her being the female, the next person to carry the Thor mantle?
That's Tessa Thompson.
Yeah.
But she's our own character already. She's already Valkyrie. I think you might want to bring in someone else. It wouldn't surprise me if the next movie starts a whole new saga. Because after Avengers 3 and 4, that's it for all the originals, pretty much. That's what I'm... You know, Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. They're done after that. I'm assuming Sebastian Stan is going to pick up with...
Yeah, because he's got a 9-movie deal, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
He's already been in like 4 of them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm hoping that this is one of those examples where I don't want to get ruined by spoilers. I know from watching the post-credits scene of Civil War that Winter Soldier's being rebuilt. In Wakanda, and I'm hoping that he is in that movie, but I don't want to see it until I'm there at the theater. I don't want it to be spoiled by the internets or by the YouTube or the television, because there has to be 25 commercials of a movie for you to sell you to watch the goddamn movie. And I don't need 25. I'm already at like 0. Like I'm already ready for Black Panther. You know.
But yeah, going back to what you were saying earlier, yeah, Jane Foster is female Thor.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if anybody cares,
or if anybody reads.
Yeah. But they're going to have to... I think they have to fix something on that. And Natalie Portman, I don't think she's really working out for where they're going. I don't know. Plus, wasn't there...
They already wrote her off. Like, oh, she broke up with me. No, I broke up with her.
Yeah. They could do it. Like, they can do something else. They could bring in... Thunderstrike. What was the fucker's name? He was another blonde dude in the Thor comics. He had a beard. But he went by Thor also. He was a replacement whenever... what's his face, wasn't it? But he was Thunderstrike. That was the character. I mean, there's been different characters in the Thor mythology that they could take the mantle of the Thor. Of Thor.
Well, there's one that can't. One of the Easter eggs that I noticed towards the end of the movie, the Grandmaster's building. They had they were building Hulk's face,
right.
Kind of like the monument of all the champions.
I'm surprised it took you that long to see that.
I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't paying attention. I just was looking at the screen at the time that they showed the building, and I was like, "Holy crap! That looks like Beta Bill on the side of the on the side of the building." And the Ragnarok comics is where Thor's mantle's passed down to Beta Ray Bill as the next person that's worthy to carry the hammer.
I mean, you could do that, but. I don't know how that would come across in live action.
Yeah.
That's my only...
Too much CGI?
Yeah. It would be cool to see him. I wouldn't mind seeing the character in a movie, but not to be the main character in Thor. No, that'd be too much. I think that's it, though. I mean, did you have... What do you think?
It exceeded my expectations.
Exceeded? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, see, let's stop right here, because... We were walking in the theater, and you're asking me, he's like,
where do you rank this of the year?
Yeah, you were saying, like, movie of the year and things like that. I was like, no, I wouldn't say movie of the year. No, it was probably one of the most entertaining movies of the year, probably one of the funniest movies of the year. But
Than Guardians Volume 2?
You see, here's the thing about that, because I know a lot of people love Guardians 2. To me, Guardians 2 was just lazy. Like, it was just... rehashed. Let's get all the funny stuff that worked in the first movie and ramp it up like twice on everything. So I thought it didn't mean as much in Guardians. It didn't feel legit in Guardians. So it just felt like a cash cow to me.
Okay.
Where this one felt like, hey, let's have some fun with this, because of all the MCU movies, what franchise is known not to be, like, funny or humorous or anything like that? It's the Thor movies.
Yeah.
So let's just, like, let's like crank it up to 11 and let's when you go left, let's go right. Let's show them what we can do.
Forward, not backward. Upward, not forward. And twirling. Twirling to success.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
For anyone that gets that reference, thank you.
I wouldn't say it's on the
upper echelon for me as far as movies I've seen.
I definitely recommend it.
But I'm buying it the day it comes out. One of the best. There's a lot of competition, dude. Mm. Logan. That's a
asked me. You said what was better, this or Logan? It's like, dude, that's a totally different movie. You can't even compare the two, really.
Yeah.
Tone wise, you can compare this one to Guardians, Guardians 2, obviously. Maybe some other, maybe when Justice League comes out, we can compare it to that, or
Hitman's Bodyguard.
To an extent, I would say this is better than that, but
no. But as far as comparisons,
yeah,
like in that same like action comedy league.
Not in this year, but you can compare it to Deadpool. There's a lot of same humor in that. But as far as the Marvel Studios MCU movies go. Wasn't Ant-Man supposed to be like the funny one?
Yeah.
And it was funny.
The only thing that I can think of is that they're building up all this humor because Infinity War or maybe Black Panther, something happens that's so fucking depressing that it's going to balance out.
Yeah.
Or at least that was my first impression when I first heard that Infinity War was going to be a two-parter. It's like, okay, this is the movie where we kill off all the classics and we reboot it with the next Avengers, or the West Coast Avengers, or the Fantastic Four and a Half, or whatever. I don't know.
The Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah.
Props if you got that reference.
Yeah. Alpha Flight. Oh, no, we don't do Canada. No.
No.
It's up there. Like, I liked it a lot. It's nowhere near my best, though. Not to mention, hell, we're not even
okay, done. Hey, I have this Phase 3. What's better, this or Civil War?
Oh.
That's Phase 3. That's cause for comparisons. Oh. Rankings and whatnot. Gotta think about that one.
For different reasons, I like it the same. I think the tone of Civil War warranted it to be as serious as it was. The final battle with Captain America and Iron Man, like pulling the pages right out of the comics, like on the screen, that's strong, dude. But, well, and Guardians is also Phase 3, right? Part 2? That's Phase 3?
Yeah.
I easily put Guardians 2 at the bottom of the list.
Really?
Yeah. It would be... if we're talking about those three movies, I would probably pick... I'm like 50-50 right now with both of those movies. I could easily have Captain America or Thor at number 1 and Captain America or Thor at number 2, and I'd be fine with either one of them. I'm more certain that Guardians is at the bottom of the list than I am certain of which ones I would want on the top if we're picking those three movies.
You know what? Maybe it's because I just come off of watching Thor.
You got Thor up there.
I got Thor on top. Mainly because I knew what I was getting with Civil War. I didn't know what the hell I was getting with Thor, and it still was a good movie.
Would you have had Civil War higher if you didn't know that Spider-Man was going to be in it until you saw it at the theater? Because that's another one of those points where, oh man, Thor was awesome, but fucking Civil War gave us Spider-Man.
I think that's on the same level as I wish I didn't see it in the trailer. Mm-hmm. You know, if Spider-Man wasn't revealed until we were actually in the movie theater, then I don't know what would be better, seeing that or seeing Hulk smash out of those gates, or seeing Mew Mew smashed.
Hulk fighting Surtur. Pink, 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 like a fucking pinball. Oh my gosh, yeah. Guardians is definitely the worst.
Yeah.
Out of three.
I mean, I say that just because of my own personal taste, but are you saying that just because of the same reasons? Or?
Yeah, same reasons. Yeah. But that's not the only argument we have, because this is part one of our fall winter viewings, because we still have Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And we have episode 8. Mm-hmm. All three of these movies, for whatever reason, we've been anticipating for a while.
Right.
And they're all coming within the span of 6 weeks.
Don't remind me. Jesus.
So we'll have to come back at the end of the year or after we finish watching Star Wars. And just out of those three, that triple threat, where do we rank?
Who came on top?
Who came out on top?
Yeah. So I think we're going to leave it at that, right?
I think that's it, man.
All right. So
you could either spend 2.5 hours watching Thor at the theater or just spend 57 minutes listening to us recap it, and you get just the same feeling.
There you go. Yeah. Just as enjoyable, right?
And save money.
Yeah. But hey, I tell you what. For right now, since you just got done listening to this episode, go to our iTunes page. Just go to do a search, Pop Culture Rewind on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Give us – say we're shitty podcasts or whatever. Just give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Talk shit about us all you want in the description, but just give us a 5 stars so we get ranked up there.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
So find us on iTunes. Do a rate and review on that. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/popculturerewind, and on the Twitter machine also.
Oh, yeah. Pop Culture RWND.
There you go. I might do something on there one of these days.
Eventually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's going to call it a day on this one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, all right.
Sounds like a winner.
So, until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
Top guys, out.
Yeah. Get out of your system while it's still kind of relatively fresh.
So I'm still permeating. That was fun. Yeah. Dude. So I went with a date. And I could tell that she was enjoying the movie halfway through. She was doing this number. Because she was sitting next to me. She was doing this. Oh, my God.
Don't touch me.
Just beating the shit out of me. I was like, damn, you really want to do it anywhere, don't you? I was like, give me 5 minutes. Because I was... If it was just us two, then we would have gave a whole new meaning to end credit. But since you and Nancy were sitting there, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to at least keep my pants on for this one.
Thank you.
But yeah.
Plus, it stuck in that theater, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys got the wrong side of it. I didn't notice it as much, but apparently it was hot and musty and bothered and a little bit of, I don't know.
I don't know. It smelled like bad breath, like all in the theater. I don't know what it was. It stunk. And it was hot. And the baby kept crying.
Oh, towards the end?
Oh,
she was trying to sing the immigrant song. Way.
Did a better job than you.
And yeah. Ah, shit. That was fun.
There might be the one time I went to the theater and the kid, like, what happened there? This kid kept, like, wah, just kept crying and making noise. And finally, some dude just like, you want to get that kid out of here?
Oh no, if it was me, I would have done the whole Family Griffin thing. Like, I would have been right in the baby's face. Wah! Wah! And just to shut him up. Like, yeah, you don't like it, do you? Wah! Just, hopefully that would have been enough, but it wouldn't have been enough. We would have kept going on all night.
Yeah. But it would have made things worse.
Yeah, it would have made things a lot worse. But it wouldn't be the first time I got thrown out of the theater.
Yeah. Would have been, but you know, kind of cool if it was like Alamo Draft House where you just put a little...
Oh, a little placard? Yeah. Like, you don't have to snitch. Like, they'll know, it's like, this bitch has to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you come to the 8,
get rid of this person.
Come to the 11 o'clock showings in the morning where all the babies come.
Eliminate them.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.